So in the calm of White Lake, at the time you were starting putting sign up with ironic phrases, sentences, and just like, you know, trying
the signs.
Yeah, the signs. Were you trying to gather there people a little bit more like you?
Yes, trying to find people who understood me, my humor, and that I'm gay, you know, because there were none of them there. There was all of the local racist Nazis, the bigots, you know, and they put up their signs, swastika, and faggot, and Jew.
So in the summer of 1969, you actually made history, a change, and you managed to gather there 500,000 people.
1 million.
1 million people, okay, even worse. Can you tell us a little bit about how this event changed your life?
Yes, when they started to come by hundreds of thousands, I looked and I cried because there were more of us than the bigots, than the racists. And I didn't know it would affect the world. We were just doing New York. But they came from everywhere in the world. And the car license plates from Mexico, California, Canada. And so I didn't know. And I went away to Hollywood afterwards for a year because the police were coming to get me. You know, they said me and the mafia. Warner Brothers was mafia. I didn't know. So I bought a new Cadillac, and the film doesn't show, but I got a new Cadillac. I drove to California, and only then I met a Belgian, my lover, and I lived in Brussels and Paris, and I didn't know anything that it was becoming an icon in New York.
So the summer of 69 actually meant a lot to your life, you coming out as a gay person and declaring to the world, but it also was so important for the rest of the world because on the 20th of July, the first man stepped on the moon. So it's actually a trend of the moment that people are trying to discover, to open up to new trends, new people, to the other persons rather than imploding in themselves. And watching actually the film, the Woodstock film, you can see from the people there, the bodies, the naturalness, the way of behaving and the way actually of appearing without, you know, lifting or face lifting or anything, you know, they're so natural and spontaneous. Do you think that that freedom and that honesty at the time was reflected in you as well and all the people there?
Yes. First of all, you see in the film, there's no muscle men. There was no such thing then. And they got 20,000 actors to play the hippies. And they had 5 weeks, Ang Lee, with them training how to speak groovy. It doesn't exist anymore. And the attitude and how to say peace and love and all of that. And yes, there was a man in the moon at the same time. And also Vietnam. So we were making an anti-war statement. In the film, you see many Vietnam people, and they ask one man who's cleaning the toilets, what do you think of all this mud? And he said, I have one son in Vietnam. Excuse me. In the mud, who's dead. My other one is here. I like this better.
We can tell from your book, one of the most funniest characters is obviously your mother, your Jewish mother, terrible Jewish mother, which reminds in a way of Woody Allen's mother coming from the cloud and discovering. And we find also out that you had your teacher at the School of Arts was such an important person to you, not just as a person in art, a teacher in arts, but also in a teacher in life. And you also were friends with Tennessee Williams, Truman Capote, Janis Joplin, all sorts of people who actually were, in a sense, devoted to self-destruction. So how do you explain after all this hope and peace and the message that Woodstock were trying to convey, how do you actually explain that so many people were so, you know, trying to hurt themselves?
I studied at art college with Mark Rothko. He was not known. I gave him sandwiches, cigarettes, but he trained me. I worked with him on his paintings, mixing colors, not painting, mixing colors. And there was such an intense, with Rothko, intensity about experiencing color. That's why his paintings are color, you know. And nothing was red enough or black enough for him. It had to be more intense. And I didn't know he would kill himself. How would I know? With Tennessee Williams, he was a genius writer. He was my neighbor. We became friends, and we played. Jouer in French. And I asked him, I was trying to learn to be a writer. I asked him, could he read something? Oh, yes, he read. And then he gave me a new play to read to. Said, me, my opinion? Yes, yes, yes. And Truman Capote, the same thing. And he was a poet and an artist. And we began to play. You know. For me, I was young. And to be with such people, I came from nothing. Such people, world figures in the arts, just my heart was overflowing, you know. And when they killed themselves, I felt part of me died, you know. It was sad. Committed suicide, Rothko in Tennessee with drugs, and Truman Capote was just crazy. Yeah. And Janis Joplin, I held in my arms. Yeah. It was wonderful. Yeah. And Jim Morrison, we played. Yeah. He was a genius. When Jim Morrison did Light My Fire, it was the first time in history that a record would be 5.5 minutes. Normally they were 2 minutes. And so it was in all the bars and gay bars. It played over and over. And Janis Joplin's song was so heart-moving. We knew it all. We just knew it all. And Streisand. And, of course, for me, Judy Garland. Judy Garland, for all of us. And we didn't understand why. They asked me this year, why the gays took Judy Garland and why she loves gays. And I didn't understand until recently. It's her song, Over the Rainbow. For us, you see, it was something is coming on the other side of the rainbow. That's good.
So in the film, in the movie, we have starring fantastic actors like Imelda, the woman playing your...
Imelda Staunton.
Exactly, playing your mother, and Dimitri, who's playing actually yourself. Did you recognize in his face, in his way of acting?
I'm better looking than Dimitri Martin. I'm like Brad Pitt, exactly. I wanted Brad Pitt to play me, but they said too old, not for me. Imelda Staunton is British. They gave her, for 5 weeks, a teacher, a coach, to have a New York, American, Jewish mother accent with a little bit of Russian. My mother's from Russia. The same with Henry Goodman, who played my father. When I saw the film first time, it was my parents. They looked like them. They walked like them. They sat Ang Lee. They did 3 days interview with me of how they were, how they walked. Ang Lee is every detail. He's a perfectionist. And so when I saw them all on the screen, I cried. With Dimitri, I kept thinking, I'm much better looking than him. No question.
So Ang Lee said about Woodstock, that was probably the last innocent moment of America. As part of that history, it was a little bit of a miracle having 1 million people gathered there with no accidents, no incidents at all,
no killing.
Exactly like what actually happened with the Rolling Stone concert a little bit later on when 4 kids died. So do you actually think that that was the last, the finish of with Woodstock actually ended that innocent time?
Yes, they tried 4 other Woodstocks later. I went to one in 94 with in the farm in Yazgirls with Sid Bernstein, the impresario for the Beatles, and a friend of mine. And the town shut the electric, shut the lights. We had no speakers. They didn't want it. And then the audience started singing rain, like in the movie, rain, 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 and it started to rain. So there was a spiritual belief that there's something there, you know. Also, there was no killing, no fighting. Even the police, we gave flowers to and marijuana. And they, it was a gathering together of family for the first time in our history.
So from your garden or nearby your garden, all this sense of the feeling of hope, of liberty and innocence actually came to the old continent and Europe, where young movements start, you know, showing up and people taking, feeling good for what they were and trying to express and speak their minds. Today is quite different in Europe. People are struggling. There's a fear, common sense about people, and people are scared of losing their position, their privileged position, are scared of meeting and mixing with other cultures. What is the feeling now in America?
Unfortunately, the young generation are doing drugs, cocaine a lot, and other things I don't even know. And they are partying because they see, not Vietnam, they see Afghanistan, the Taliban, North Korea, all the danger, and Israel, the danger of maybe nuclear, that we'd be finished. One nuclear bomb from Israel to Iran, and they say the fallout will be in Europe in 2 weeks, in America in 4 weeks. And with that fallout, there's no chance it's finished. So they are partying now. I'm hoping, it's a dream, when they see that, they don't know Woodstock. They will go see this film. They're curious. Their parents, grandparents mention the name. So if they'll see this, maybe they will see, hey, peace and love of music is better than killing, better than the drugs. I mean, we had drugs, but innocent compared to now, you know? You don't see in the film people doing heroin. We didn't do that. And acid was bad, but it's mostly marijuana now. I was then, and now it's all kind of drugs. So I'm hoping that this will have some influence on that. It's a dream, you know. Yes. I would love to see it.
So the Ang Lee movie is not actually about Woodstock, but it's about your dream, a dream of a man in 1969. What is your dream today in 2009?
On the screen, it doesn't say Elliot Tiber is alive. They could think when you do a bio that they're dead. They're supposed to put, and I tell them when I get back, I'm still alive and in New York and I'm a writer. I write. In the film you saw the records of the Judy Garland, they show it. I didn't know it when they made the film. Now, my next book, which I just finished, they're editing now, in the spring they'll have it, is My Night with Judy Garland, because I knew her, I got to meet her. My Night with Her, not sex. Well, hello. And she married three gay husbands. Her father was gay. Liza Minnelli married gay. Vincent Minnelli was gay, etc. I don't know why that. They don't tell me anything. But with Ang Lee, when I met him by accident in San Francisco on a television show for my book, and I wore my Woodstock shirt in English. This is my book. Rizzoli has the book. Rizzoli has the book now.
It's
everywhere now, okay? And the film is like the book, except for Marlon Brando and playing with him and all that. It's not in the film. Or Rock Hudson. But anyway, I met Ang Lee, and I said, oh, you're wonderful, your movies. I loved all his movies. I said, did you hear of Woodstock? And he said, well, yes, I was in Taiwan, a teenager. I had long hair, bell-bottom pants. The police came every house. If you didn't cut your hair and the pants, they put you in jail. And many of his friends went to prison. And then he said a little time later, Woodstock happened, and it freed us all. The whole world changed for us. I cried. And he said, why do you ask? And I showed him my Woodstock shirt. Said, and I said, I'm the man who did it, gave you the freedom. He gave me a hug and a kiss. I was hoping he was gay. Brilliant genius is what attracts me, not the muscle boy. But he's not, married with children. And I said, look, I love your movies, but everybody dies. It's very sad, beautiful, but they die. Wouldn't you like to do a comedy? He said, oh, if I could find one. I said, hello, this is a comedy. I gave him the book. And my press clips. By accident, I have it. By accident. My tote bag. I gave it to him. He said, I'll look at it. On the TV show, they showed Lust, Caution clips and then interviewed him. Mr. Lee, where do you find your next movie? And he looked at me and winked. Clin d'oeil in French. Wink, you know. And he said, I meet interesting people wherever I go. Some of them have brilliant ideas for a movie. And he looked at me. I was in heaven. I went back to New York and all of that, but I was running out of money. New York is a fortune. And I'm an old man now. I'm 74. I was 73. And I have moved to Florida, which is half the price of New York. Okay. So I moved there, and I was very depressed there with the sun and the alligators and palm trees and golf. I hate that. And plaid shorts. I like black. So then 3 months later, my agent called. Elliot, Ang Lee is going to make the movie in time for the 40th anniversary. I said, but it takes a year and a half to film. All their other films they put aside from Focus Features. It's Universal. Mm-hmm. They're making yours. We made a contract. It's all agreed. I had my one. I don't believe God. My God, I said. And I had to wait 5 months to get the money. So the day I got the money, I left everything in my apartment for charity, Salvation Army. I took my doggy. I went to the airport. No clothes, nothing. I went to the airport. New York, New York, please. I took an apartment the same day and ordered furniture the same day. And I was back. New York is heaven to me. So I'm doing the sequel now of the book. The Judy Garland book is finished. They're editing it. I'm doing the sequel now, which is Dear Ang Lee, I Love You. And it's all about what happened from the festival to this, to all my travels now. I'll have 5 months of everywheres in the world about what's happening. The Biograph Festival was a surprise to me when they wrote me. And Ang is too busy to come. He has so many things, so, you know. But they said, well, you come here, and we don't want to show our film yet. They're still doing editing, you know. But if it's not for the press here, that's why there's no press screening, not reviewed now, it opens here in October, yes, you could show the film once, not more, once. Yes. And they had somebody here to make sure nobody in the audience was making a video. They do that. They steal it. Yes. Then tomorrow it's in Beijing, yes, on a DVD, you know. Yes. So it's just a thrill. And I couldn't believe, I've been in Italy with Aldo Foa, the Italian star, 10 years ago, Montepulciano, for a play of mine that he acted in. And Tuscan food, oh, I came back to New York in the Tuscan restaurant I always go, and I said to the patron, he said, you have to take down the sign, this is not Italian food. It's yes, I'm from Italy. I said, no, they have to take you to prison.
What kind of music do you listen to today, and about art, what are your favorite artists today?
With music, Mozart, Beethoven, Puccini, Butterfly, Puccini, Tosca. Plus, I listen still, Janis Joplin, The Doors, my favorites. Today's music, I hate. It's filthy. It's killing. The lyrics are, I don't know if you have that here, kill the police, kill the faggots. It's not music. It's the rapping. It's terrible. Maybe now the young generation, when they see, and everyone will see this film because it's all over America, big in the clothing stores, the elegant stores, Woodstock Clothing, and my book in the window, a lot of them. They will see there's something else in life besides this shit. Yes. And maybe they'll start writing more love. We had love songs.
Yes, sir.
And folk songs and songs about struggle. We had a big anti-war song, Country Joe McDonald, We Ain't Gonna Go to War No More. I forget the title, but he still sings it. Richie Havens still sings Freedom all over the world. The same songs. So that's in music. What was the other part?
The art, in general, artists.
Oh, artists. I have Rothko all over my walls, and Reinhardt, I studied with him. I don't like in the museums or like here at the festival, there's washing machines, 2 dozen washing machines, 10 trucks to bring it. It's not art. When I went to graduate art school to study advanced painting, and for the degree, the dissertation, they have everybody, the faculty, the students, and one girl brought in a Volkswagen car door she found. She put it against the wall. Didn't do anything with it. Put it there. It's called found object art. And everyone is saying, how marvelous, how wonderful. I said, it's a Volkswagen door. It's not art. And I left. I couldn't stand it. I didn't get my final degree because I left.
You're a creative writing teacher? Which is the most important thing you teach to your students?
Oh, I taught at New School University for 12 years. I taught absurd, twisted comedy for film, for books, for television, for novels. I had many Wall Street business people take the class to bring humor in their lives. They're business people. And they all felt when they saw the name, absurd, twisted comedy, hey, that's me. Most of them not. They didn't understand. That when I finished with them, they understood. And lawyers, doctors took it so they would change their lives. And that was so rewarding. That was my pay. The college didn't pay much. That was my payment, you know. And one semester, I had 2 nuns in my class. And the first night, I always wrote God, because I'm an atheist. I said, if you're going to write about God, talk about God, don't take the class. Then one semester was 2 nuns taking notes, and one of them said, Scusi, I have to leave Mother Superior will not let me stay. And the other one said to me at the end of the semester, she said, I'm no more nun, you see. I can't be a nun. There is no God, you're right.
Which country or which part of the world do you think you could actually express that innocence and that creative part that Woodstock expressed at the time?
It's all over the world. My book is sold to Germany, I'm surprised, because it talks about the Nazis, to Russia, and to Spain and Portugal and Brazil, and they sold it to 22 countries. And at the Cannes Festival, they sold it all over the world. They recouped the whole cost, $300 million of the film they got back at Cannes. It never happened. So it's the message from the different countries who are buying it. They figure, they understand this message might be important for the young people. And older people who lost courage, they will see it and remember, hey, life doesn't have to be Taliban and Afghanistan and killing and bombs. That there's something else to look for, you know. And when we got the message from Rizzoli to do the book, we had another Italian publisher, I get the name, that offered to pay much more. I said, no, no, Rizzoli in New York, we know Rizzoli. And they do the right job. So I'm so pleased with that.
So this is your first time in Bologna and in Emilia-Romagna, which is the region. What is your impression of the people and the culture here?
It is beautiful. I want to buy a villa. I saw villas. And the price of a villa here, they say, is expensive. But the price of a villa here is the same as the price for a small apartment in New York. So next year, when I get the money from the film, I want to come here 2-3 months. I can't live all year. Because I have to be in New York, but I really want to do that because I found the people here, not like in Paris where they have attitude towards Americans. Everybody seems to like Americans. They're so gentle with me, so friendly, so warm. And the food is so superb. I'm sorry I'm not fat anymore because I would eat everything. Now I have a little of everything. Except one problem with Biograph Festival. They don't have chocolate gelato. You imagine in Italy, no gelato? They said, oh, we have other things. I said, forget other things. Chocolate gelato. I'm a star, please.
Do the words peace and love still meaning something to you today?
The name of the book and the film is Taking Woodstock. Do you know why? Okay. I have been taking Woodstock with me ever since, 40 years. And that is taking peace and love in music. And it's in all my life, in my work, I include something about Woodstock, no matter what it is. I did a play, maybe it'll be a movie called Hitler's Love Songs. It's about Richard Wagner, music and Hitler. And in there, the character, I have her say, the, Frau Wagner, to get her upset, the reporter says to her, what do you think of Woodstock? She said, Fair Schmutz, which means dirt. Barbara Streisand, filthy Jew. Still, all of these years, Woodstock, it's not music. Wagner is music. That's why it's I take it with me everywhere.
Okay, then can you just say goodbye to all the listener of the radio just by saying peace and love?
For your radio audience, I just thank you for this welcome and this honor. And they say I have a Grand Prix here next week. And I hope you can find some Woodstock in your heart for your lives. But thank you. It was such a pleasure to be here. And my English, my Italian is fluent, but not on Friday. Peace and love and music for Italy.